In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. You know what today is? It is the 6th of January. What does that mean? Today, I am on 29 years. I've been on 29 years on WROL today. We started on the 6th of January in 1985. And if you count on your fingers, you'll find out that it's 29 years of broadcasting. That is the gift of God. That is the grace of God. That is the Lord Himself that has supplied all of our needs. So I want to thank people who have helped us monetarily, praying for me. I would not be able to do this without you. 29 years on WROL. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I want you to hear what I have to say. The infancy narratives, I do not call them stories because you might not think they're true. The infancy narratives, they happen to be a preview of coming attractions of the gospel, the whole gospel. Let's look. The scripture says in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek or to the pagan." Isn't that interesting? It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentiles. So I'm reading from the second chapter of Luke. "And there were in that same country shepherds." What kind of shepherds? Jewish shepherds, "abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they were very afraid. And the angel said unto the shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign that you will know. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Oh my, oh my. So who was Jesus revealed to first? To the Jew first. To the Jew first. Very interesting. That's the way the gospel will be, that the gospel is to the Jewish person first. St. Paul would always preach to the Jewish people first in the synagogue, then he would get thrown out. Now I'm looking at the second chapter of Matthew. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Who are these wise men? They are the Gentiles. They are the Gentiles. "Saying, Where is he to be born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So we see that the gospel in miniature is happening. First of all, the revelation to the Jewish shepherds, and then the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. So this is what's going to happen when he grows up and when he dies and rises from the dead, that the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Now, we have no gospel without the cross. We have no gospel without the cross. And we see the cross in Matthew 2, verse 11. And they were come to him to the house, that's the wise men, and they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Notice they do not call the baby an infant anymore. He's a young child. So how old is he when the wise men visit? Well, between 2 and infancy. But they do not use the word infant, they use child. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country, and to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you the word. For Herod seeks the young child's life to destroy him. And so Joseph arose, and he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. That's amazing. There's the cross. We see that Herod has all the children killed, 2 years old and younger. So the cross is present in Matthew's gospel. What else is present? The cross is present in Luke 2 also. And when 8 days were accomplished for circumcising the child, his name was called Jesus. Oh, there is no other name by which we ought to be saved but the name of Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according that this is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, that means he lived by faith, waiting for the consolation of Israel, that's Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he, Simeon, should not see death until he has seen the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple just at the right moment. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, this is what he said, Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, that's Jesus, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. And what is this Jesus going to be? A light of light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. Again, the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Here comes the cross. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign shall be spoken against. A sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So we see the cross again, that this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Let me tell you that the infancy narratives just happen to be a little gospel. As to how Jesus is going to spend his life and all the important things, that the gospel is to the Jew first, that's to the shepherds, then to the Gentiles, that is to the kings, then that the gospel always is seen with the cross. Herod is after the baby, and not only Herod, but Simeon prophesies that this child is destined for the rise in many of in Israel, and a sword shall pierce the heart of Mary. Yes, that's the cross, where she stood under the cross. So the infancy narratives are a gospel in miniature. The infancy narratives are a gospel in miniature, and that's what they are. And they are the beginning of our salvation. They are the beginning of our salvation. I'm now on 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was wicked and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because of his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we have loved the brethren. Isn't that interesting? We know that we have already died, passed from death to life, by the love that we have for one another. That's interesting. It's very interesting, because we love the brethren. The person who loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer shall enter into eternal life, and has eternal life abiding in him. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for each other. So the command that we are to love one another, and I keep on saying this, Protestants, it's no time to hate Catholics. Catholics, it's no time to hate Protestants. We are to love one another. Our enemy is not the Protestant people. Our enemy is not the Catholic people. Our enemy is the devil. And we must make sure that that who is our enemy. If you go to Planned Parenthood, the reason why they're doing what they're doing, killing children, it is the work of the devil. It is the work. You're dealing with satanic powers to come to kill, steal, and destroy. We have no time to hate each other. We have only time to accept. So if people are different than I am, well, you know what? Let them be different. I've been praying for that beautiful pastor in Iran that has been in jail, and I've been praying for his release. He is my brother. He is my brother. He has gone to jail for the sake of Jesus. He went to jail for the sake of Jesus because he became a Christian. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for each other. But whoso has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, from him how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see, it says nothing about the state taking care of our people that are poor. It says that we should be caring for the poor. Because if a brother is poor, we should be caring for the poor. Many years ago, the chief giver of the poor was the church. Now it's the state. The church is second. I'm telling you, if we taught our people how to tithe and how to give, I tell you that the goods would go exactly to the poor. If anyone sees a brother that's lacking in these words, goods, and doesn't do anything, the love of God does not dwell in him. My little children, let us not love in word, nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's very easy to love in word. I love you, I love you, I love you. But let us not love in words alone, but in deeds. Love has to do with your hands. What do I do with my hands for my brothers and sisters? Love has to do with my hands. It does not have to do with my mouth. Many people can say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. Love has to do with your hands. We need to love in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. I'm telling you, if we're loving God and caring for the poor, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Yes. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do these things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is the commandment, that we should believe. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and that we should love the brethren, we should love the sisters and the brothers. This is what it's all about, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another, and not with words, but with facts. I'm telling you, words are cheap. Anyone can speak words, but what is true is another thing. How do we live our lives? Everyone hearing my voice, plus myself, we're all imperfect, totally imperfect. But yet God asks us to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another, because God is love. And he that keeps his commandments, believing in the name of Jesus and loving one another, dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he had given us. Oh, yes. We remember John 14 that I did last week. By the Spirit who is with you, and he shall be in you. That's what it says. I will give you another advocate. He is with you, but he shall be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That happened at Pentecost. But you know what? It happened to Mary. It happened to Mary. At the moment of conception, it happened to John the Baptist when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, that the Holy Spirit began to dwell in them. Now, even though Jesus is so close to them, he's telling them that the Holy Spirit is with them, but he shall be in them. Oh, that being in us is so important. Not only do I go because God says, I am with you, but God now says, I am in you. I am in you. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yes, we are to discern the good spirits from the bad spirits. And false prophets have gone out into the world. We are to assess them, not to judge them. Assess them. Who is of God? Are they believing in the name of Jesus? Are they helping the poor? Are they loving the brethren? These are the ways that we check, you know, who is the false prophet. You know what used to happen? That a prophet would come into the area and he would go from house to house, eating and drinking and begging money. That's not a prophet. That's a thief. That's a thief. Jesus said, go into one house and eat what they serve you. Bless this house. Say, let the peace of God rest upon this house, and the peace will rest upon this house. I'm telling you, we do not want to plug into bad prophets. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Hallelujah. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh through the Blessed Virgin Mary, brought forth in Bethlehem, died on the cross, is of God, rose from the dead. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist does not profess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. They start giving you other things, that they're the Messiah, that they're the one. No, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. People say, but the angels are so wonderful, and no angel has come in the flesh. That's right. That's why the angels have no idea of salvation. They've already been saved. They have no idea to be forgiven, the good angels. No idea. God's Son did not become an angel. God's Son became a human being, and that human being, his name is Jesus, and he came and dwelt in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary for 12 months, was brought forth in Bethlehem, was grown up in Nazareth, was a healer and a deliverer and a preacher, and he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried, but on the third day, he rose from the dead. So what we've learned today is something very interesting, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So we see that happening in the infancy narratives. It's to the Jew first, that's the shepherds, and then to the pagans, that's the king, the three kings, or if there were three kings. We don't know if there were three kings. We do know there were three gifts. There could have been eight kings. There could have been six kings. We don't know that. But we do know that they sent three gifts for the child, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So how many kings were there? Makes no difference. Makes no difference. You know, we can sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." That's wonderful. But we're not sure that there were three kings. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible tells us enough that they had three gifts. And I don't know how many kings there were. I don't know how many magi there were. But I do know this. They emptied their pockets of all the false religion that they were about. They were astrologers, and they emptied their pockets, and they gave everything to the newborn king. They were the Gentiles who came to believe in Jesus Christ. And then we hear that we should love in deed and not in word alone. If we love in word alone, anyone can do that. And we are not to hate our brother and sister. Why? Because they belong to Jesus. They're part of the body of Christ. They're part of the body. We are not to hate anyone. We are to pray for people, but never to hate. And then, you know, we know we're of God if we believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing has been made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of God. Hallelujah. I thank you for listening. We've been on 29 years on WROL. And you know, you've never sent a gift. Would you help us so that we can pay our bills? We're trying to pay our December bills now. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You hear it? Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ. Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let us adore Jesus. Let us profess his holy name. Let us call upon him night, day, and every moment. Let us be assured that even if our conscience says no, that he's greater than our conscience. Oh, stand under the cross today and stand under the empty tomb where Jesus' power is so available to us. Holy Spirit, you are not only with us, you are in us. And I ask you, wonderful Holy Spirit, to give each of us a revelation of Jesus, a new revelation. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.